Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer 89.5 KVRF presents Dog Talk Radio, hosted by Robert and Michelle Forto. On Dog Talk Radio, we do just that. Talk dogs. Everything from introducing a new puppy into your home to the health and welfare of your canine senior citizen and all points in between. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Dog Talk Radio here on KVRF 89.5 in the Mattsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our streaming site. You can find all of our podcast episodes on DogWorksRadio.com as well as DogWorks Radio on Twitter and Facebook. Beside me is the co-host of Dog Talk Radio. Her name is Michelle Forto. She's the lead trainer and service dog trainer at Alaska Dog Works. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going quite well. I'm glad that we got a little bit of a break in the rain today.
We have got a break in the rain. It is the second Wednesday of September. It looks like we're heading into fall, possibly an early winter. What do you think?
I think so. And in honor of 9/11, I would like to go ahead and get our moment of silence off the table and in remembrance of those tragically taken away from us on September 11th, 2001, we observe a moment of silence.
And we are back. And with that, we have paid honor to those service dogs that have risked their lives, and many of them have passed on at this moment. Several of these service dogs are named after, or several of our dogs are named after these service dogs. Who are they, Michelle?
That would be our 9/11 crew, as we so affectionately refer to them as. They were born last year on 9/11, 2012, and there were six of these little guys, and we named them Tikva, Sirius, Apollo, Salty, Brittany, and Hanson. And Brittany has a different spelling. She spells it the French way, so we call her Bri Bri for short.
And these are our sled dogs, and we named them to honor those dogs that served during this day. 12 years ago today, we wanted to make sure that we did at least our little part in honoring those canines that risked their lives and did so much for the nation on that day.
Absolutely.
So tonight, you are heading down to Denver to certify a service dog, a dog by the name of Kenai. He started up here in Alaska, and he has been with his handler for about a year now. I delivered him last year down in Colorado, and this time tomorrow, you're probably testing him to be a full-fledged service dog. So we're going to talk about that today. We've had quite a few questions on our Facebook page, on Twitter, as well as on email just this week, from people asking what the regulations are for a service dog. Michelle?
Yes. Kenai is a 2.5-year-old yellow lab that was in our training program for about 14 months when he was placed in training with his handler. And we chose to place him in training with his handler for the remaining year of his training because the young man is a 21-year-old autistic boy, man, if you will, who will never be able to live outside of his parents' home. So Kenai has bonded quite well with his handler, and they do lots of things together. They like to travel. They like to Kenai likes to walk him to the school bus every morning and greet him at the school bus stop every afternoon. He does not go to school with the young man because it's not necessary for his situation. But, you know, there are specific guidelines for service animals. You do not have to have a trainer like myself certify your service dog. Anybody can, quote unquote, train and certify their own service dog. The Americans with Disabilities Act has some guidelines, though, that you need to be aware of if you choose to do this on your own. I do recommend that you use a trainer just because they are aware of the rules and the guidelines and how to make sure that everything is cohesive in public places.
So why would somebody go to a trainer for service dog training if it's not required? I know that there's no nationally recognized organization that certifies service dogs, but if you just take a quick internet search, there's a heck of a lot of people offering service dog training. What separates the good from the bad?
You know, you have to be really careful, and I always recommend that people do some solid research on who you choose to be your service dog trainer. And not only that, do some research if you're choosing to certify or train this dog on your own, and then you go on the internet and go through a certifying website. In other words, these are websites set up to only give you certification papers that say that your dog is a certified service dog.
And most of those papers are not worth the paper they're printed on. Do not waste your time, your money, or your effort applying for these fake credentials. I equate it to the young man in college that makes a fake ID for getting into the bar. He staples and pastes and does all that stuff to drink a little bit early, and that's what a lot of these certifications are. So you got to find a reputable trainer, a reputable business, nonprofit or for-profit. It doesn't necessarily matter in that manner, but at least find somebody that knows what they're doing, has done this for a while, and can provide testimonials and or references based on such.
That, and make sure that they're willing to give you answers to your questions and educate you without signing you up for anything. That's why we do this show. That's why we have done this topic several times, both in Colorado and here in Alaska, because it's less about how many clients we have with service dogs. We don't have a kennel full of service dog puppies. A lot of people think that that's exactly what we do, but it is not. I handpick each and every dog that I work with the individual when they call me. I don't have a selection to give out to them when they call.
So let's get back into the rules. Now that you've found a reputable trainer, you've worked through the maze there and hopefully have a dog that is able and willing to work for you and your disability. But let's talk about public access. I think this is where the biggest misconception and the biggest confusion comes in. I think a lot of this comes to the point where, since service dogs are still looked upon as a quote-unquote novelty, not every business is recognizing what they are. Michelle, what exactly, before we go further, is a service dog, and how should that be recognized by a business and be told to their employees, their managers, et cetera?
Well, according to the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act definition, service animals are defined as dogs that are individually trained to do work or perform tasks for people with disabilities. Examples of such work or tasks include guiding people who are blind, alerting people who are deaf, pulling a wheelchair, alerting and protecting a person who is having a seizure, reminding a person with mental illness to take their medications, also calming a person with post-traumatic stress disorder during an anxiety attack, or performing other duties. Service animals are working animals, not pets. The work or task a dog has been trained to provide must directly be related to the person's disability. Dogs whose sole function is to provide comfort or emotional support do not qualify as service animals under the ADA. So let's back up a little bit. A service animal is defined as a dog that has been individually trained to do work or perform tasks for people with disabilities. It's not a dog that you have at home as your companion, that because today you have a migraine headache, or because today you aren't feeling so well, you're under the weather, so today you're going to take little Max with you to the grocery store because it makes you feel better. That's not appropriate.
Totally agree with that. And just because your dog is exceptional in obedience or exceptional in one aspect or training or not doesn't necessarily make them a service dog. A service dog provides a service.
Right. So, for instance, the young man that I am certifying Kenai for, he has some psychiatric issues. He has anxiety attacks. He has severe depression. He has some mild retardation. And Kenai helps break thought processes for him, keeps him from panicking in situations that he cannot handle or he is overstimulated by. And that in itself takes a certain level of understanding of the psyche of the person the dog is being trained for. The dog needs to be able to respond to what that person is communicating or not communicating, and then help that person along to the next step in life. It's much easier, in my opinion, to train a medical assistance dog. A medical assistance dog is the dog that helps the person in the wheelchair, or the person that's on crutches, or the person that needs assistance walking by using the dog as a brace. Those dogs are much easier to train and much easier to recognize by the public as service dogs because the individual appears to be disabled.
Totally correct on that. So let's move into some of the rules. A lot of times a service dog will enter into a business, whether it be a retail shop, a restaurant, a home improvement store, what have you, and they're walking into the store with the dog without any announcement. They're minding their own business. They walk in. A dog is walking in. He may or may not have a vest on. He may or may not look like your typical service dog, a German Shepherd, a Golden Retriever, a Labrador, one of those more recognizable service dog breeds. What does the business owner need to be aware of?
The business owner needs to be aware that they cannot exclude the person and the dog from their establishment just because they don't allow dogs. You need to tread lightly here. Under the ADA, state and local governments, businesses, and nonprofit organizations that serve the public generally must allow service animals to accompany people with disabilities in all areas of the facility where the public is normally allowed to go. For example, in a hospital, it would be inappropriate to exclude a service animal from areas such as patient rooms, clinics, cafeterias, or examination rooms. However, it may be appropriate to exclude a service animal from operating rooms or burn units where the animal's presence may compromise the sterile environment. So, as a business owner, you need to be very careful. Let's back this up a little bit because a hospital isn't your typical business owner. Most hospitals know these rules and comply with them quite well. But the other day we had a nursing assistant's business contact me, and one of their patients has a certified service dog, and another patient has a comfort dog. And the comfort dog attacked the service dog and caused some pretty significant damage to the service dog. And the business didn't know how to handle that. And as I explained to them, the comfort dog is not a legitimate service dog. The certified service dog, regardless of where it got its certification or how, because the person said it was a certified service dog, they have to approach it differently than the person that said, I have a comfort dog. Okay? A certified service dog, the business can ask, what service or task does your dog provide for you while you are in this facility/establishment? In other words, let's say you're at McDonald's and you take your service dog into the McDonald's with you. Your service dog provides you with psychiatric assistance. While you are at the McDonald's, you become anxious and overstimulated by a crowd of people. The dog's job is to help you leave the building, leave the situation in a calm fashion. That is what the dog is there to do for you. So if the manager comes up to you and says, you can't have that dog in here, his actual statement should be, what services does your dog provide for you while you are at our restaurant? And the comment should be, my dog helps me control anxiety in public places.
So what if the person that owns the establishment refuses service at that point?
If the person refuses service, then the best thing for the patron or the customer to do is to simply quietly remove themselves and their dog from the establishment and call the supervisor, manager, owner, and log a complaint. If that doesn't get you anywhere, then you need to contact your local ADA office and log a complaint through them.
And how does somebody go about doing that? Can they do it online? Do they have to meet with somebody? Do they need an attorney for this?
They can do it online. You do not need an attorney. The best way to do it, you can go online here in Alaska to alaska.gov/ADA, or you can call. Their phone number is 907-465-6929, and they will help you every step of the way. They do have TDD numbers. Because we are a radio show, I will go ahead and give that number out as well, because I know people have friends and family that can help them. But the TDD number is 1-800-770-8973.
So we've covered what a service dog is, the types of dogs that are recognized as service dogs, businesses that allow service dogs. What about apartments? And
the same rules apply for apartments, but what I'd like to discuss is what the ADA considers service animals must be under control. A lot of times we will have people call in, Robert, and ask us about apartment buildings and hotels and extended stay type hotels. And they will say, hey, this person said that they have a service dog, but the dog doesn't seem to be under control. Is it okay for the dog to be on this type of collar? Is it okay if the dog is growling and behaving aggressively towards other people? These are questions that are answered directly on the ADA's website. And basically is what this says. Under the ADA, service animals must be harnessed, leashed, or tethered unless these devices interfere with the service animal's work or the individual's disability prevents using these devices. In that case, the individual must maintain control of the animal through voice, signal, or other effective controls. Inquiries, exclusions, charges, and other specific rules related to service animals, when it is not obvious that what service an animal provides, only limited inquiries are allowed. Like I was saying earlier, staff may ask two questions. One, is the dog a service animal required because of a disability? Two, what work or task has the dog been trained to perform? Staff cannot ask about the person's disability, require medical documentation, require a special ID card, or training documentation for the dog, or ask that the dog demonstrate its ability to perform the work or task. Allergies and fear of dogs are not valid reasons for denying access or refusing service to people using service animals. A person with a disability cannot be asked to remove his service animal from the premises unless, one, the dog is out of control and the handler does not take effective action to control, or the dog is not housebroken. When there is a legitimate reason to ask that a service animal be removed, staff must offer the person with a disability the opportunity to obtain goods or services without the animal's presence.
So these, again, relate to businesses. Let's get into...
Well, that goes right into your thing about public access. Public access training is just that. It is one of the key factors where people that train their dogs on their own miss. The dog may never defecate or urinate in a public place. And it also must always be under your control and care in public places.
So if a dog is very well trained, no sit down, stay, come, wait, etc., what else is involved with public access? If you can run down a list of five items that are covered in a public access training program.
Well, your obvious obedience, yes. The dog must maintain a friendly disposition for passerby, not be startled by carts or strollers or children, not become aggressive when a child grabs it or steps on it. The dog must remain unobtrusive in walkways and in restaurants, should be placed under a table, not where staff and other patrons can fall or trip over the dog.
So we've covered public access. We've covered what a service dog is, the types of service dogs. Now, what about the people that are looking for that loophole? There's many a people out there that say that they need their dog to be a service dog for one reason or another, and often we have turned down more people at our business than we have allowed to sign up for various reasons. But what about those loopholes? Why do people go out and try to do that?
You know, I can't answer for everyone out there that chooses to cheat the system and take advantage of something that has been put in place for those individuals that truly do need service dogs. I think that it's appalling that you would think that you have the right to take your dog into an establishment because a disabled person can. It's the same mentality of those people that park in handicapped spaces when they're not handicapped.
Exactly. So what else do we have to cover? We have about 4 minutes left. Michelle, I want to make sure that we cover all of this. This is what I often call navigating the service dog maze. It's not something you can cover in a half an hour. It's not something you can cover in a pamphlet or a blog post, and definitely not something that you can cover in one phone call or one email to a distraught client or business. What else do you want to cover?
Well, with service dogs, you know, I applaud those people that train them themselves and get through this and really truly have a dog and a team, if you will, that shines in public places. It looks better on the entire industry. I look forward to the day that the Americans with Disabilities Act, the United States government and local state governments contact trainers that train service dogs and have for more than 5 years and ask them what they would do to make it a recognized certification nationally. That is what I would like to see happen in the next 5 to 10 years. It's something that I have been asking to happen for the past decade. If we have a national recognized procedure, test, training, evaluation of a service dog for people with disabilities, it will greatly advance those people that need a service dog.
So one final question on my part, Michelle, is if there is no formal recognition of service dogs, there's no formal training program or certification, how in the world can there be all of these rules formed by the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act?
Because the Americans with Disabilities Act is there to protect the disabled and their rights. And these rules are in place for them so that they are not discriminated against just because they are disabled and they use a service animal. In my opinion, a service animal is a living piece of medical equipment.
And there you have it. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, send them over to our Facebook and Twitter page at DogWorks Radio. You can find us both there. Or visit our website at dogworksradio.com. We stream live every Wednesday, 7 p.m. here on RadioFreePalmer.org. And all of our podcasts are available anytime on iTunes as well as dogworksradio.com. On behalf of our host today, Michelle Forto, we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.